everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am here again with Michael Brazemley. Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
All right. And this is now part two of talking about what happened at our last union meeting because, well, I'd like to say it's because so much stuff went down that we couldn't get to it all, but really it was because I got too busy talking about myself.
It's okay. It needed to be done. Yeah,
it did. And it is my podcast, after all. I'm the one who pays the bill. So I guess I'll let it slide. And I did buy all this recording equipment. Might as well put it to use. And maybe one day, what actually went down will wind up being important for reasons that we may talk about a little bit later. So let's get to the election stuff that went down at the meeting. Well, dude, we might need a three-parter because we also have to talk about the charges that were leveled against me and Michael. So which do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's go through the meeting first.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we get to the meeting, and as soon as we get there, the branch secretary comes over and serves both Michael and me with charges while we're waiting in line to get tacos from one of our union brothers has his own food truck. And so he brought tacos for the meeting, and as I hear it, they were pretty good. What's that guy's name?
Richie. Richie has a food truck. Snowden. He has a food truck that he goes to the Raiders game and sells his food at the Raiders game.
But that was well received.
But that did what he brought. That was the second time that I've tried, because the first one was when I went there to check on the ballots.
Okay.
He just served me some Philly steak.
Oh, that's cool.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Was great.
Good.
You know, I'm like, God, I haven't eaten all this. So I'm like, thanks. I was like, sweet. You know,
dude. So for my listeners, if you want to support a union brother, he's got a food truck. His name's Richie. Yeah. And what station is he out of?
Out of Emerald.
Emerald. There you go. So if you're in Vegas, by all means, throw him some business if you need a food truck.
Yep.
So I was unable to eat because I knew what was coming with all the stuff we talked about last episode and with my petition and then getting these charges right away. Well, I guess I ain't eating tonight, but I could use not eating every once in a while.
That's funny because when we charged our election chair, it took forever.
Yeah.
But that's true. For us, it was immediate.
Lickety split. Yeah. Well, we don't know when the election chair actually filed his charges against us. Yeah, by the way, I guess we're just going to talk about the charges because we're already getting into it.
No, it's okay. It's just part. Generally talk about what happened at the meeting.
But right. The election chair charged us back.
Our meeting, we can talk about it, but it make it pretty quick.
Well, we'll see. All right. Yeah. So we get to the start of the meeting, and it opens with the charges being read against our election chair that Michael put forward, along with a bunch of co-signers, of which I was one. And then it continued with the charges being read against Michael and me that were brought by the election chair for defaming him on the podcast, which you guys probably heard. And then it moved on to the decision of the executive board on our election appeals. So a little bit of background here. I know we've talked about it, but it bears repeating because it can get confusing. We have the election board that is supposed to rule over all things on the election. And then we have the executive board, which is the people who run the branch, the president, the vice president, the secretary, all those people. Those are the executive board. So Michael and I filed our appeal to the election board immediately after the election. And then they made their decision and they sustained our objection.
Well, I can read the decision.
Oh, cool. The decision of the election board? Oh, dude, yeah, by all means, please do that. Okay. Hold on. Michael has the decision of the election. He's about to read it. And it is worth noting that this decision, this is our first branch meeting since this happened. This decision was not read at the meeting. And to me, and to a lot of other people, it felt like the executive board only read their own decision because they only want one narrative getting out in front of the branch.
Exactly.
And so they only read what they think is important. Yeah. All right. So go ahead. So this is the election board's response to our appeal.
Yeah. So it says the subject is election committee appeal decision.
Right on.
On 9th of November, 2024, chairman of the election committee received an appeal letter via express mail, return receipt requested, and the appeal was sent by Michael Brazemley, Jonathan Munoz, Alan Gigax, members running for branch officer positions. The appeal letter was texted to the election committee for a review. The election committee voted on the appeal by text with the following options. Option A, to redo the entire election procedure in accordance with the NALC election regulations and Branch 2502 bylaws. Option B, to redo only the ballot process and accept all previous notice and nominations. And option C, to accept the results of the election and reject the appeal submitted by Michael Brazemley, Jonathan Munoz, and Alan Gigax in its entirety. The voting is as follows. Option A received 6 votes. Option B received 1 vote. And option C received 0 votes. So the NALC Branch 2502 Election Committee do find by simple majority that the appeal presented by Michael Brazemley, Jonathan Munoz, and Alan Gigax is upheld, and the entirety of the election of the Branch 2502 shall be redone in adherence with the governing policy of the NALC Branch 2502. Sincerely, our election chair.
There you go. Dude, that's pretty good. And you know what I think we should do is we read that decision, but then we don't read the executive board's decision. That'll show.
We can summarize their decision.
I know. They have their arguments too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the election board makes their decision, and now there's 5 days to appeal that. The problem is there's no, like, we got that by essentially through the grapevine, got their decision because we know people who are on the election board. And so we were able to get their decision. But there was never any process to officially announce that to the branch. We actually talked about that on a previous episode. Like, I wonder how this appeal will work, because what makes it timely? Like, when does the clock start ticking? Well, we don't really know when the clock starts ticking, but we do know that the branch president was able to get in an appeal to the election board's decision. And his was the only appeal, and it went to the executive board.
Which he's part of,
which he rules over. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's essentially appealing to himself and then his cronies. Under other conditions, there may be a more divided executive board, a more open one, but that's not what we have.
By the way, I got a copy from unknown source on his appeal, by the way.
Oh, the appeal that, like, what his arguments were?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be worth
it. Did you have...
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I saw it. I'm not positive, but it's
basically saying that, you know, they should not make the decision because we sent it express and not as certified.
Yeah.
But I put it as certified return receipt.
You did do the return receipt.
But either way, it was a higher class mail. But either way, our election committee made the decision to accept it.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Right. And so some of that stuff might be debatable, and it will wind up being debated at the next meeting. But so we start the meeting, and again, the two sets of charges are.
But ready. Here's what we're missing.
Yeah.
Okay. The other part that our president, his appeal, he argued about is that one carrier did not say that he was not in management for 2 years.
Right. Yeah. In his written acceptance.
So if you actually think about it, what really is the appeal?
They said that he never complained about it.
Yeah, never complained about being disenfranchised. The appeal of the decision of the election committee.
Right, that was their ruling on that, was that it wasn't inappropriate because he didn't complain about it.
Yeah.
Right, they never said that, like, he wasn't disenfranchised.
Right.
They just said he didn't complain about it, so I had no harm.
So and it basically says, I'm filing an appeal because of these reasons. What?
Right.
Okay, so of course, because he's the president...
Right.
Of the E board.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what he says, because they're going to still accept that appeal.
Right. So that was a point that was brought up. There was a person sitting next to me who is a freaking superhero and just gave no end of grief to the people on the executive board. I'm not going to. Yeah. No. Superhero gave no end of grief to the people on the executive board. I was helping to find the rules that were being cited for the ways the executive board was not doing right. And it was amazing. And one of the arguments that were made in this back and forth is, okay, so the branch is right now at this meeting being notified of what the executive board's decision is. How was the branch notified of what the election board's decision was? And of course, like so many things, there's no answer to that.
Right.
The secretary tried to answer by saying, well, I got the decision and I gave it to the executive board. But then, of course, the follow-up question is, okay, what did the executive board do with it? And they just sat on it.
Yeah. So the appeal, which is so bogus, is the Ybor made a decision to redo the election except for the nomination.
The executive part. Board did, okay. Yeah.
That's what they decided.
Right. Okay? They're going to redo the election, but they don't want the nomination to redone.
And so we were notified by our treasurer saying this is the decision they made.
Right.
And
a member of the executive board told us. Yeah.
Told us. So because now we're notified, we thought we got to do it within 5 days.
Yeah. We have to make our appeal now to the branch.
Right. So now that we've filed an appeal, the secretary goes, oh, no, because the president made a decision to present their decision in the general meeting. So therefore, that's the day it starts.
Right. So we got our appeal in within 5 days of the decision, like we have to. Mm-hmm. And then the secretary called me to tell me, or maybe I called, whatever, how it happened. He told me, oh, no, your appeal doesn't count. It came too early. It's untimely.
So basically what they did was if we didn't file an appeal within 5 days of their decision when it was the e-board meeting, then they would have said, oh, we didn't do it in 5 days.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed 100% they would have done that.
Yeah.
100%.
But since we did, now they want to delay the decision.
Right, and say our appeal came too early.
So they brought it up in the general meeting saying, now you can file an appeal so that you can't bring up the charges until the following month.
Right. Okay? So the superhero was giving them no end to grief about this. And one of the things the superhero said was that the executive board gave themselves, which is all like one ticket also, gave themselves an unfair advantage in the appeal process because essentially they were the only ones who had a chance to appeal because they never shared the decision with the rest of the branch. And it's a legitimate criticism, in my opinion. And there was no good answer for it from the executive board, except for, well, if you don't like it, you can appeal again, which of course is what is now happening.
Well, I thought our president said, no, I'm the president, I get to do whatever I want.
I remember statements like that coming from the secretary.
No, that was done by the president too.
That may be. You know, I was trying to take notes on the computer. There was so much going on. It would not surprise me at all if that was said. Yeah, that I'm the decider. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was that portion of the meeting. And there were a lot of people dissatisfied, a lot of people upset. And it was really good turnout, too, of people who are reasonably not super stoked about the status quo and the way things are going. So then we move on with the meeting. That part finally shuts down. And we go on to regular branch business. And then we get to a part of branch business that normally is not controversial, which is getting approval from the branch to pay a bill. And in this case, it is the bill from the printer that printed all the ballots for our... Oh, yeah. So here's our order. We've got the Pledge of Allegiance, then the invocation, then the charges, then a roll call, and then new members, and then officer reports. And it was the officer reports... Oh, no. No, okay. And then unfinished business. Now we get on a new business. And there's a few things on here that aren't super important, but the fourth one is pay printer for election materials, $2,643.21. Oh, and then this right after this, it says appeals, which never happened. Dude, I never even noticed that while we were at the meeting. Is there was space set aside for the appeals and... Those motherfuckers. All right, so we get to this thing. Pay the printer for the election materials. And that should be, like, dude, every time at our branch, when it's time to pay for something, it's a rubber stamp. They vote unanimously, yeah, sure, we'll pay for that. Who cares? Always.
Not this time.
No, and dude, we've already contracted for service. And we've already gotten all these materials from the printer. And now it's time to pay for it. And people started asking a bunch of questions.
But now our treasurer actually brought out saying, hey, I got the invoice for this election. And so she made copies and gave it to all the members.
Yeah, it was awesome. Let's get to the contents of that invoice in just a minute.
Okay.
So the normal order of things, for those of you who don't know how a branch is supposed to operate, we have a certain amount of money each month that can be spent by our executive board without branch approval. And it's $500. Anything more than that has to be approved by the branch. And this should be obvious to anyone who thinks about it. The branch has to approve that money before you spend it. Because what if the branch says no? Now what are you supposed to do? And so obviously you have to go to the branch first because there's literally no other way it could work. If I'm going to buy dinner and I need the branch to pay for it, yeah, that's the amount on the, I need the branch to pay for it, then I got to make sure the branch will pay for it before I order my dinner. So that's not what happened here. So instead, they have to come up, a member of the executive board comes up and says, I'd like to make a motion to pay this bill. And the questions start up right away. You know, the obvious question is, isn't this supposed to be done before we contract for services? And yeah, it is. But we still have this bill, and, you know, the branch has an obligation to pay its bills.
And one of the members said, well, you know, we don't want to lose any reputation of not paying bills.
Yeah, being,
and so we should still pay for it. But then we got another member says, well, how can we pay for something we didn't get the service on?
Right.
Yeah, because the service was a lot of, we were talking about a lot of screw-ups.
Yeah, so we've talked about in the previous, like, shenanigans episodes where we, our ballots, which are supposed to come first class, came standard. And the return envelopes where we send our ballots back in are supposed to have postage on them. And these didn't. And so people were asking legitimate questions, the same sort of questions that Michael and I were asking during the election. How did this happen?
These people were asking, not us.
Yeah, now the regular folks are asking, like, well, what did we actually order? And the president standing up there not answering these questions. As if he doesn't know. Or he even said at one point, well, that's going to have to be investigated. Yeah, you're fucking right. That's going to have to be investigated. Yeah, and so it was wild. And so the treasurer wanted to make it really clear that, like, because it's her responsibility to, you know, keep track of all these bills. And she went way out of her way to make sure that everybody at that meeting knew none of this stuff was ever run by her. Before it went down, that all this stuff was ordered without her advice, without her consent, not to mention without the advice and consent of the election committee. And she went into her office and grabbed the invoice, or maybe she had, I don't know, whatever, but she comes out with a big stack of copies of the invoice from the printer. This is that invoice. And here is something crazy about this invoice. It says, there's a box here that says ordered by, and there's a name in that box, and the name in that box is the name of our branch president. He is a candidate for election in this election, and it says that he is the one who ordered all this stuff. Now, I had gotten through the through a leak, I guess, or whatever, we'd gotten a copy of this in advance. And I actually went down to the print shop and asked them questions about this invoice because I needed to understand, like, what was on here. It was kind of complicated. And the stuff on here was explained to me, and we'll probably get into some of it. But yeah, the ordered by, according to the folks down at the print shop, that's accurate. That is who ordered it. And I said, well, you know, let me get our, do you see the union newsletter floating around here? I know I left it on the, go ahead.
No, yeah. Before you continue.
Yeah, go ahead.
The order was supposed to be for about 1,999 ballots.
Yeah, we have about 2,000 ballots. Oh, yeah, we'll get that, to that, too.
That includes active members and retirees, okay? And so when we looked at this invoice, it was weird numbers because in the bylaw, it says that when you order the ballots, that you can order up to 5% extra.
Right.
For just in case there's some errors.
Yeah.
Okay. So being that it's almost 2,000, you can order basically about 100 more. Okay.
Yeah.
And so technically, there's supposed to be maybe 2,100 ballots and in envelopes and so forth. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's showing on our invoice?
2,500.
Yeah.
Ordered 500 extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to get to that in just a sec because mm-hmm. The branch treasurer had another bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
But in regard to this, the question that keeps getting asked is, well, what did we order? Because if this came out all messed up, no, we're not going to pay for it. And so I made sure when I went down to the print company, hopefully I haven't said their name. It doesn't matter. I mean, this has been handed out to 100 people at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, when I went down to the print company, dude, ultimately I'm exonerating the print company here. Because when I went down, I asked them, well, can I see like the original order? Because I want to see like what we actually ordered versus what we got. And the person at the print company told me, this is what you ordered. This is exactly what was ordered.
By Paul Dent.
Well, by...
Because that's what it says.
That's what it says on here. Yeah. And she said, you know, like we didn't realize until later that there had to be this type of postage and that type of postage. You know, we didn't know that until afterward. And, you know, like once people started complaining that we realized there was an issue.
But this is how it was ordered.
According to the people at the print company. Yeah, that's how it was ordered. So let me read you from our newsletter, which is a state newsletter. It's important. Dude, the podcast made the front page of the state newsletter because I talked about how like the announcement was made in the newsletter. All right. So anyway, the article in here mentions the name of the print company, and this is written by our branch president. He writes, quote, to say the least, print company, I'm redacting there, dropped the ball with the branch's election materials, including, but not limited to, failing to apply postage to the return ballot envelopes.
Wait, stop right there.
Yeah.
They printed exactly how he ordered it.
Yeah, according to them. That's right.
Yeah, so now he's trying to blame it on the printing company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
If that's the case, then we shouldn't be paying them, right?
Right.
At all.
And when it was asked directly at the meeting, well, what was ordered, the person who ordered it should be able to say, well, I can tell you for sure that it was ordered with postage because I'm the one who ordered it.
But he didn't say that.
He did not say anything of the sort. He's like, well, there's a lot of confusion. And then, you know, I mean, I can't quote him, but it was to that effect. And I know for sure he said that, well, there'll have to be an investigation into that. Which, well, yeah, there sure certainly will be. Yeah,
because I will be filing. I'll be filing for that investigation.
Yeah. So, eventually it became so cantankerous and people were demanding answers to these perfectly reasonable questions that we know for a fact are answerable. Eventually it became so cantankerous that the member of the board who put forward the motion withdrew the motion. And the branch moved on.
Yeah, still not paid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. With this bill is
saying
not paid.
That's going to be more investigated and come forward in the next meeting.
Yeah, right. Dude, it is wild stuff.
In which he never got the committee to check on that.
Yeah, that's true. Who's going to investigate?
So who's going to investigate? His own officers?
I don't know. I investigated it. I can tell you that much. So, I went down to the printer.
Right. So right now, he's what? Since he didn't pick any people to investigate it, so how is that going to be done?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good question. All right, so that's that part of it. And yeah, man, the executive board got no end of grief during that, and rightly so. So now... So here's the thing.
The previous episode where Alan wanted to wait for his decision on the Stewart thing till later. Mm-hmm. And... at this point in the meeting, we probably had a full house of members.
100 people in there, maybe?
I mean, it was full.
Yeah, okay? It was full. Maybe not 100, but good turnout.
But by the time Alan actually put in for the argument for himself, I think there had to be maybe 20, 25 people left.
Well, I know I lost the vote 14 to 11. So there were at least 25 people there and some people not voting.
That was including the e-board.
Yeah, including the executive board. Yeah, so it had really thinned out by the time it got to me. And a lot of the angry,
why did people leave?
Because they were there for the election impropriety.
No, I know.
Oh.
Because the meeting went over 3 hours long.
Yeah. It was two and a half hours into the meeting when I finally got to do my motion.
My carriers who showed up,
yeah,
they're on overtime list.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, do you know what time they had to work the next day?
6?
5:30
there you go. Right.
And it was already 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, my appeal got heard at 9:30.
That means in 7.5 hours, they had to be at work.
Yeah, and you got to drive a long way across town.
And my station is, it's about 40 minutes to get there from our branch. Right.
And from my own station, there was only one carrier left from my station. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Patty. I know you're listening. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, Patty.
The best. Yeah. Yep, she met Michael. Yeah, Patty's the best. So, that was that part of the meeting. And then we finally have part 3 to get to, which is the charges that were proffered against us. And, dude, I think that's got to be a third episode.
That's going to be next episode.
Yeah. All right. So that's anything else interesting from the meeting that we need to cover?
Well, here's the thing. Because we didn't cover a lot of things that we wanted to do in this meeting, that's like the appeals for the e-board's decision, because they played games. So now they made it to the delay till January now.
Right.
They haven't really talked about the re-election, how they're going to do the re-election. When they still didn't get the motion to pay for...
No, to pay the printer.
Pay the printing company.
Now that bill's going to be in arrears.
For the new election. The re-election.
Oh, you're right. Well, we got a little time on that.
I know. But we still haven't got any problem of getting money for that. I mean, there's so many things that didn't happen at this meeting. We're still not having a Christmas party. This is the most ridiculous year by any branch.
Oh, yeah. Officers. Anybody who's been in the branch for a long time.
This is the most ridiculous year that I've ever seen in my life, which, I mean, of course, I've only been in the post office for 12 years, so it's not really that long to compare to, like, Alan, who's been here longer than me, and so forth. But
I never cared about any of this stuff for the first, you know, 17 years.
And, well, see, the thing is, I've been carrying it for many years now.
Yeah.
And so... that's why I'm so involved in it. And I'm seeing a lot of things that's going wrong. And I've been trying to fix it, but it's hard to fix by myself.
Right.
Okay.
So here we are, you know, spilling what's going on. We're telling the truth about what's happening at our branch, about what's been going on. And I am still here to offer solutions. The solutions of... abide by the bylaws. Actually read the election book if you're going to run an election.
And if anybody has questions of all the things that's been going on.
Oh my God. No, dude. We forgot to talk about the treasurer's other bombshell.
Okay.
When she started reading off all the numbers.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
Dude. So the secretary or the treasurer did an accounting of the leftover election materials. Well, actually,
to go back on that. Yeah, so, please. Me and the treasurer, we request to see the ballots and how it was counted and so forth. So we went to go see it. Mm-hmm. So we looked at all the ballots, okay, and we kind of counted out everything. But what we were missing was the extra envelope that was ordered.
Yeah, the 500
because
extra.
Because in the invoice, remember I said there was 1,999 members, but he ordered 2,500, okay? So there is actually 500 extra envelopes that we could not find.
Right.
We didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And so anyway, later on, our treasurer decided to go to the president and I said, "Hey, where is these extra envelopes at?" You know what his answer was to her?
Oh my God. Say
it. I don't know.
Nice.
How does he not know when he's the one who ordered it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay.
Sure.
That and he means has general supervisory he's avoiding power. These answers.
Right. Every step
makes,
of the way.
In which avoidance. Makes him more look more guilty, by the way. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, all of a sudden, like the day after, supposedly, they showed up.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
And so, but this time I couldn't make it.
I didn't
it,
hear
so,
this part.
Yeah. So I couldn't make it. And so our treasurer and our election chair decided to go and count the envelopes. Mm-hmm. And so the results that now, you're talking about is with both of them
so
counting.
There should be, in theory, if everything went smoothly, there would be 500 extra envelopes, 500 extra ballots. But we know that some people didn't get ballots and asked for a replacement. And so maybe that was, I think it was around 70 or so that got resent. But then she's at this meeting and she starts reading all these numbers. And it looked, based on what she was saying, that there are about 200 envelopes, 200 ballots.
No.
Oh,
she said 300.
300. Unaccounted for.
No. Okay. You got it backwards.
Okay, yeah.
I said,
please, because I had a hard time
They
following.
Counted around 300 envelopes.
Okay, so that left about 100
It made about 200
for.
Missing.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. Well, we know that probably about 70 of them got resent to... Okay.
But either way, they were missing.
Yeah, yeah. But the moral of the story is we're missing a whole bunch of ballots.
Okay.
And so that... Go ahead.
So, here's another part too, okay? So there is a steward election at one of our post office at Westridge, okay? And if you look at the invoice, they order 130 ballots. Okay, 130 ballots.
Yeah, 130 ballots.
And then there was other stations.
Yep.
Okay.
90, 45, 55.
And most of those ballots, those envelopes, were sitting in that closet.
Because there's a bunch of extra, way so, more than you
no,
need.
No, no, no.
Oh, no.
All of them were sitting in the closet. So how did they get voted?
Dude, that's a great question.
Because 130 was counted, is what, okay, what our treasurer said.
Oh, like there were 130 steward ballots
in the
sitting in the closet, yeah, out of 130
that still were sit ordered. There. And there was still a ballot of the steward that was...
Now, surely, when she asked this question,
mm-hmm,
she got an immediate direct answer, right?
I don't... What was that... What was the immediate answer?
No, I'm at, like, surely, like, she would ask the president, like, mm-hmm, hey, you know, what's up with all these extra ballots? Like, where did these come from, or what are these for? Surely she got a direct and immediate answer, right? Explaining everything that was going on.
I'm sure it was more of a, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure he knows. We right, actually have some ideas, which we'll, once yeah, we get about more to get into, stuff. Right?
Well,
no, no, no.
Okay.
We cannot bring any of that up yet.
Okay. All right.
Until
that's
we
cool,
get more proof.
Okay. All right. That's yeah, cool. Yeah. So, I don't know. What would you use a bunch of extra ballots for if you were a shady motherfucker?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you had more ballots,
yeah,
what else would they do with it? I mean, I've yeah, got a lot yeah, of different theories. It's weird. You know, here's yeah, the thing.
Conspiracy theories.
I had conspiracy theories. Alan had conspiracy theories. And you know what the funny part about that? Now that the invoice is out, yeah, I'm getting a lot of carriers telling me their conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So now everybody's looking dude, at like, this
it's
is
wild.
BS. They know that bullshit happened.
Yeah.
And
there's a paper trail that shows mm-hmm, it. It's madness.
It dude, is getting it is bad. Madness.
And I can't believe we're going to have to do a third episode just to talk about the charges against us. So we'll devote the next episode to that.
I mean, again, the meeting was over 3 hours long. So that's
it was,
why it's...
Yeah, there was a lot.
That's why it's taking so long. On. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
I've never had a general meeting that lasted that long.
Yeah.
Okay? And it wasn't not because we're counting dude, ballots.
And the next one... might be even longer. You know what? This is still on topic for the election, so I might as well talk about it now. So we have now, the 5 days has begun to appeal the decision of the executive board to the branch. Right? Forget the one that I sent in early that they disallowed, which they should have allowed, but whatever. So, okay, I send in my appeal again, and it has to follow the rules of the election appeal. So we turn to section 21 of my handy-dandy election book, and 21.3. If an aggrieved member is dissatisfied with the ruling of the branch executive board, which I am, the member may appeal to the next scheduled meeting of the branch. And this is where that timeliness was so important, because we were about to have another meeting of the branch, so we had to get our appeal in. And then they figured out a way not to do our appeal. All right, so anyway... I can appeal to the next scheduled meeting, the branch.
Well, you know, go before ahead, we continue, you know, when they make these decisions,
the
not support
whatever,
executive yeah, board, not making the decisions, like when we're filing appeals and trying to play games and it was not done on time and so forth.
Yep.
In reality, that is actually going wrong against the membership, because we're all memberships, right? We're all union members. And so they're playing these games and they're not being good to our members is basically what they're doing. Okay, so this is not what they're doing is actually hurting our members, and they don't give a crap about it because all they want to do is win. They don't care about all of our members. That's basically it. They broke the rules, and now they're getting caught, and now they're trying to make sure that all the rules stay broken. And now, I mean, more we find out, the more rules are being broken. I mean, it is. I mean, just one after another, we're just finding more and more and more as almost every day we're going on.
It's a mess. It is a mess. All right, so going on, within 5 days after receiving the ruling of the branch executive board, I guess you'd say that happened at the meeting, the aggrieved member must notify the branch recording secretary of his or her intention to appeal to the branch. This notice must be in writing and sent by certified mail, return receipt requested. Members present at the next scheduled meeting of the branch must decide the merits of the appeal. All right, so pretty straightforward. I just have to notify the secretary of my intention to appeal. That's it. Hey, I intend to appeal. And then the appeal will be heard at the next branch meeting.
So, which the appeal would be is to redo the whole election. That will be nomination
included. Yeah, well, in any way that I might disagree with the executive board's decision, in this case, mm-hmm. I believe we should redo the whole thing right from the beginning, and that'll be the focus of my appeal.
Yeah, to be that way there's no confusion.
Yeah. So that's the process, the way it is intended to work. But this leaves a lot open to interpretation. Like, here's my concern. Because I've had enough dealings now with the branch secretary that, like, tried to invalidate my first appeal and found a way to make sure that my my first election appeal, the one that I sent in as soon as we heard the executive board's decision, you know, he found a way to try to invalidate that one and then tried to prevent me from appealing the decision of the president on me being a steward. And my concern is that, okay, I sent in my appeal. I sent it in by certified letter with return receipt like I'm supposed to, and it essentially just said, I intend to appeal the decision of the executive board to the branch. And then what's going to happen at the meeting when it's time to actually do that, to do the appeal? My worry is that at that point, he's going to say, well, you never filed any arguments with us. You never actually said what the content of your appeal is, and so your appeal will not be heard before the branch.
That's my concern. Yeah, that would be your concern, but here's the thing. We've already had charges and so forth where we were actually, hey, we're going to file a charge or we're going to do this with the intent. And at that point, then we actually read it, not the secretary. Okay.
Okay, because I've only seen the secretary read that stuff.
Yeah, so we actually have the right to read it.
That's part of what I need to know.
So,
because that's another concern I have is that if I have to submit arguments in advance, which I don't think, according to this,
it doesn't say that. Yeah,
no, but dude, that's the problem, right? If I say, well,
because here's the thing, we're not the only ones send that appeal in,
right?
Okay? Now, you've got other people who sent it in. They're all saying they're going to appeal and of intent,
right?
Okay, and here's why, okay? Because the last appeal that we sent all our arguments, and they brought all the stuff.
Those
to argue
had to
back.
Be sent.
Okay,
but the arguments had to be sent to the
because
election
that's what
committee.
It says. Yeah,
right. For the election committee, for the first appeal, it says and must include all supporting evidence.
Okay,
this one doesn't say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this next meeting is going to be very important because now we're going to be talking. Now the charge is going to be there. But
if you are a carrier in Las Vegas or the surrounding areas, you must come to the December meeting.
And this meeting
December
in January,
8th, I think, or January, January 8th,
January
9th.
Thursday, not on a Wednesday.
Oh,
it's a Thursday.
There you go. Thursday,
because
January
Wednesday
9th.
Is for APW meeting.
Okay.
And because we can't have the meeting on January 1st,
right?
That was
that's a
Wednesday. And so the following second Wednesday, which is the APW uses our building. And so we decided to do it on a third, the day after.
There you go.
So I hope everybody knows that
January
9th, which is a Thursday.
All right.
Okay.
Please be there.
And it's going to be very important because not only are we going to do the talk about the re-election.
Yep.
They're also going to talk about the charge against our election chair, the previous election chair.
And the charges against us.
And the charges against
us. Which is the next thing.
Okay?
We have to do a third episode to talk about.
We haven't got a phone call yet when they're going to do the investigation yet. Okay? Because we'll be expecting that phone call. Okay?
Yep.
Well, they want to talk to us. So we got all that going on in this middle of Christmas. Good luck on trying to find time for us to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But hey, I'll try to find the time as much as I can. And because I really want them to find out what all the things that
We'll get to it. That'll be the next episode, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wrote to the president because, again, I have these concerns. You know, I just want to make sure that I'm interpreting this the same way they're interpreting it, because we've already had numerous conflicts over interpretation of stuff that's not intended to be this specific. And so I wrote, what will be the process by which our appeals will be heard by the branch? If I submit an appeal, will I be afforded the opportunity to present it? And so it's very simple to answer, yes, you will be the one speaking in front of the branch, or no, we're going to have our secretary read whatever you write or whatever. And it's a real direct question, deserves a real direct answer. And so here's my real direct answer from the branch president. See NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. That's it. It's the whole response. Well, and the salutations. That's it.
And the only thing it says is we can filed with intent to appeal.
Yeah, the intent there's to no appeal. Actual, right. Like, but it doesn't say, like, you know, there's a lot more that's going to have to be decided by the branch. But here's the thing.
If they're going to try to stop us from actually talking about the appeal, they would have to do it to all these people, other people that's filing appeals too, which is not going to fly so well.
It's not. And the branch is going to wind up probably ruling on it. But that's why I'd like to get these positions laid out in advance because, well, I address it in my response. Mm-hmm. You can be sure that I have read the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. I've probably read the election rules more times than anyone else in the branch. I even read them out loud on my podcast as a service to others. But the rules in that manual regarding the format of our own branch meeting are vague at best. I'm in need of clarification so I may properly prepare for the meeting. 1. I have already submitted to Secretary my intention to appeal. I presume the certified letter will arrive on Monday or Tuesday. Is there anything else I need to submit to Secretary in advance of the meeting? The election rules do not specify anything else, but I need to make sure my and your interpretations agree.
My recommendation, forward an email to Secretary also.
Oh, that's a good idea, because he's the one who likes to make these. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 2. Who will present the appeal at the branch meeting? My reading of the election rules is that I will present my own appeal. Quote, the member may appeal, end quote. Do my and your interpretations agree?
Since member may appeal sounds like you can actually talk it about
does. It. It does sound meeting. That way. It sounds that way to me too. But you never know what they're going to try to do. They're going to pull.
Yeah, because they want to... Shut us
down. They want to shut us down. Yeah. Wouldn't it be much better for them if the secretary just read the appeals?
Always trying to get to stop us from using our rights as a union member.
Yep. Using our voice. Yeah. 3. How will material evidence be presented? Should I simply hold it up as exhibits? Is there a video monitor I can connect to my computer? Will the branch make copies for everyone? I cannot make a complete appeal if I am unable to present evidence. Without evidence, the appeal is all just hearsay. But the election rules don't specify in what way the branch will accommodate the presentation of evidence. What should I prepare for? So this is an example of, like, this is not in the manual at all.
Well, so here's the thing is we're not really bringing up the whole failures of, because they've already decided to re-election. But dude,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So here's the thing is, you know, what we want is that the election when it's going. So the only argument on this appeal is that and why we want the nomination to happen, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's because the nomination...
It seems to be the only controversial part.
And the reason that we're requesting the nomination, okay, it's not because...
But I have evidence for that too.
Not because,
I have court cases. I have... Yeah.
So it's not because of that. But it also creates confusion. Because, you know, we got some acclimated people move and some of these people are moving and somebody want this and that. And so that's already confusion. Okay. But the biggest problem is not everybody was notified by conspicuous ways that the nomination was available.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be our argument. Yeah. Right. But again, I have evidence, even if it's just evidence of that edition of the newsletter. Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, but in the bylaws says that if we cannot use our branch newsletter, then it has to go to postal record.
No. Right? The bylaws say that you can print it in the state publication. The Constitution says you can print it in the state publication. Mm-hmm. The election rules don't account for the state publication. And that's the problem because they cover the method of printing. Yeah, there's two sets of rules and they're not. And that's why I've said all along, it falls into a gray area. Mm-hmm. Dude, this, now I got to do something else.
So, anyway, our branch newsletter is not there. It's a state, and it is kind of confusing.
Yeah. So, on that note, this is from the cover of our state newsletter. Very exciting to make the cover. Written not by me, obviously. I'm not a big fan of podcasts because I just don't have time to sit and listen. But I try and listen to any connected to Nevada, mainly to keep the tune to what's going on. The reason I'm not a big fan, I don't like slander. I don't like name calling, and I don't like the spread of misinformation. Spread of misinformation is in bold. I was listening to one a while back. You can guess which one it is. the speaker kept making references to some errors and how things should work in producing information for their branch newsletter. I'm going to give a correction here. This is not a branch newsletter. This is a state association newsletter produced and paid for by the state association. Now, I've gone back and listened to these episodes because we got charges over them. And I made this abundantly clear in those episodes that, yeah, I think this falls into some gray area. And I'm not real sure like how this actually works. But he's got to go on here and correct the misinformation. And then he goes on to write, this is a state association newsletter. Oh, we accept articles and information from all the branches throughout the state. There are some states, blah, blah, blah. We produce ours. Also, no, that's not it, blah, blah, blah. Most of our articles do come out of Branch 2502, Las Vegas, as well as from the state officers. However, we'll accept from other branches, blah, blah, blah. Both of those branches maintain their own newsletters, and that's why we don't receive too many from those branches. So we're by far the biggest branch in the state. Mm-hmm.
But here's,
and we don't have our own news.
But here's the thing is, I don't think he actually listened to the podcast. I think he was just told by somebody.
I hope he's one of the 100,000 plus downloads that I've had. But
from what he was saying, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like just hearsay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can't listen to that part without me clearly saying that you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so moving on to issue
number... Because we do try to make efforts to say this and say that. And I know that when we talked about that... The newsletter,
yeah.
You know, we actually mentioned that this is a state and not local.
Right, exactly. So much for misinformation. All right, and then finally we get to, but dude, you talk about evidence,
mm-hmm.
right? That's part of the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have evidence, well, anyway.
Yeah.
Number four, what will be the time limit for our presentations? Is this something that will be voted on by the branch at the meeting, or will you come in with a predetermined length? The election book doesn't tell me how you intend to handle time management. And so again, this pat answer of, oh, go read the election book. It's not satisfactory because the election book doesn't tell you how to run a branch meeting.
But you actually said that on there.
Yeah, I did. I sure did.
Mm-hmm.
So I conclude, it's important to know these things well in advance so that I have a fair opportunity to make my case to the branch. My fear is that I will show up to the branch meeting Reddit. Well, I've already talked about the fear. I might as well say it. My fear is that I will show up to the branch meeting ready to make my appeal, and the secretary will tell me that my appeal can't be heard because I didn't submit its contents in advance to him. I don't believe NALC election rules require such submission. If you or the secretary think it is required, then we'd better get it worked out well in advance of the meeting. That's what I'm trying to do here. Nobody will benefit from surprise rulings at the start of the meeting.
Sounds like a good email that you sent to verify things, you know. And if they don't answer and they try to pull anything, at least you have proof that you did request it.
That's exactly right. It's important to get this stuff in writing. I wish I'd have been doing it all the way from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's where we sit with our appeals
to
the election.
I would love to have see our membership show up by in bunches so that we have people that's standing up because we don't have enough chairs to show up at the meeting in January and February and possibly to March because of all the things that's going on. Because it's the next 3 months is going to be very important.
Right. All right. Next episode, we finally get to the charges against me and Michael. And no, we have not been stonewalling these, delaying talking about them. It's just we have so much other stuff. So, coming up.
Yeah.
All right, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Let's go to the next one.
Catch you next time.